Hello and welcome back to the Unova Tourism Committee. I'm Alan. Ibrahim, that is. And I'm joined
That's
as
cool.
always. And I'm joined as always by Six.
Hi. I had a little bit of a fumble at the start of this recording because I hit record and I was like, oh, it's not giving my speech. And it's like, right. I had a one-off goof for Novel Not New, so I had to record my own audio so I could get Benny Morrow from King of Fighters saying thank you.
Was it worth it?
My life is weird. It wasn't that hard, so sure.
Your life is weird, but in a good way. In a loving, wonderful way.
You always pleasantly weirder for having you in it.
Ooh, that just gave me a sense of warmth and love and friendship. Careful, careful. I will cry. See, another meeting of the two-person quorum as we continue our journey through the Unova region in Pokemon Generation 5, starting with Black and White. I'm playing White, Six is playing Black. We're doing our playthrough. You already know that. We're on week 4, guys.
We got a stay of execution. They didn't announce remakes.
That's oh yeah. We the Pokemon Company just did a short direct read this past week as of when we're recording, and they announced a new Pokemon Legends game that takes place in the Kalos region, in Lumio City specifically, and probably the surrounding areas. And people were like, "What the fuck? They skipped Gen 5. I can't believe they're doing a Gen 6 remake." And it's like, they can still do a Gen 5 remake. Cool your jets. And second of all. And Six and I kind of agreed on this. Like, if they're going to do a Gen 5 remake, I want them to do it correctly. I want them to take a little bit of time on it.
And it's something that Game Freak came out and talked about. And that might have been the Pokemon Company. I don't know who it was. But anyway, like, last August was like, hey, we've been working on too many projects at once and not giving them enough time, and it sucks. And it's like, yes, everyone has been saying this. And so they're trying to do it differently.
Exactly.
Like, please, work on one game at once. That sounds great.
Yeah, that director was really good because it's just like, here's the live service games and here's the one game. That's it. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Also, the idea that they have to go like in a specific order for the remakes is kind of crazy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it was like, what did they do for the remakes? They did a like Gen 1, then Gen 2, then Gen 1 again. I mean, they've gone all over the place, I guess is the point. They've remade Gen 1 twice already.
They have. Right, because there's Let's Go Eevee and there's also Fire Red Leaf Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unacceptable.
And so, like, I don't know. Why does, you know, they could double back for Unova if they wanted. Maybe the next one is going to be, as some people thought, like a second, you know, Gen 2 remake. Who knows?
Yeah, because in one of their pre-announcements, there also was like Gold and Silver music, and people were like, oh, this is basically confirmed. And it's like, no, they just have a sound library, and they pull from it kind of whenever generates nostalgia.
Willy-nilly.
William-nillium, if you will.
I will. Thank you.
We have a lot to talk about this week on the
Jess?
On the committee. Do you want to do like big picture stuff, like what's been new either in the world of Pokemon or in the world of your playthrough of Black and White?
I mean, okay. I came in, I was planning to come in today and talk about hashtag rollout gaming, right?
Yeah.
Because I was going around with my Pig Knight and just, you know, using rollout and then putting down my 3DS.
Yeah.
And just watching me win every fight, right? And I got a few other Pokemon, I caught some stuff, I shoved them in the bank, and I was like, this isn't... So, at the end of last episode, my team was level 22 Pignite, level 15 Audino, mm-hmm. level 14... No, that was not last episode, that was 2 episodes ago. I didn't write it down. But my team was pretty much the same at the time, which was Pignite, Audino, Blitzel, Cottonee,
yep.
And Victini. I had a slot that was empty at the time, right?
Yes.
My team now.
Uh-oh.
Level 26 Tortuga. Or Tortuga, excuse me. They're playing on Tortuga, but it's
yeah.
Tortuga.
Yeah.
Level 23 Victini.
Okay.
Level 21 Yamask.
Oh.
Level 25 Emolga. Level 24 Whimsicott, level 24 male Sandile. I changed out most of my team this episode.
Cool. That's an interesting bit of type balancing you got there. Are you happy
with
that
overlap.
Team setup? There's zero what?
There's zero overlap on the types.
Impressive. Where did you find an Emolga?
Emolga is a rustling grass in Lost Lorn forest. And also, I think on Route 5 as well.
That makes sense. I still have not encountered rustling grass, but I also am like speed running some of the routes. And this was one of the weeks where I was like, I need to slow the fuck down. I'm like going so quickly through certain parts. I spent a lot of time exploring this time, though, because of that feeling that I was rushing. So let's get into it then. Actually, I guess like quickly, my team. No, I'll save my team for the end. I want you to think about sort of what we've done this week, and then I'll tell you about my team.
Okay.
If that's kosher. One thing I did find, though, was an article on ap2hyc.com, which is just a handy resource for us. It is listing like what each town, city, area in Unova is based on in real life, or supposedly based on. And it's pretty well written, and it explains them all really well. So I think it's like a handy resource to just keep around. Unfortunately, it is not like it doesn't have sections. It's just like a big block of text, but each paragraph is like a different city, including where we went today. We start on Unova's Route 4, which is a desert route in a reconstruction period that many have speculated is supposed to reference the World Trade Center, because this is where there was a castle that fell, the Relic Castle, and there's a ton of construction, and people talk about, like, and otherwise it's a desert. This is, like, the only explanation for there being a desert in Unova, is that there was a significant incident here. What did you feel about the situation?
Route 4 itself, I definitely want to talk more about. As far as, like, World Trade Center, I think there is a degree to which people, like, I don't think it's that smooth, right? Uh-huh. I think there is some stuff that's in Nova just because they wanted to have this in their Pokemon game, and it wasn't, like, a Galaxy Brain reference always. Yeah. And I think the desert is just here because they wanted a desert.
Yeah, there's no other way to smoothly explain a desert in the, like, urban parts of New York, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Otherwise, like, it's not like everyone's talking about, oh, the incident, and oh, like they could have made it way more hammy if they wanted to do that, and I'm sure that they were tactical about that. And also, this was a part that never aired in the anime, because the black and white anime was coming out during the 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan. So, similar to the Safari Zone in Gen 1, featuring guns, and the infamous Porygon episode, this is a lost episode of section of the Pokemon anime.
Mm-hmm.
Covering Route 4 and Relic Castle. So let's talk about Route 4, though. We start off with a quick Sharon fight, as we do almost at the start of every, or end of every section that we play here. Since we both have Pignite, his Duat is pretty cool. I like Duat. It has Razor Shell, which is just a fun move. Mm-hmm. What if a shell was a blade? I'm a big fan of that aesthetically. And there's some construction people. There's some fishers. There's a lot of sand, though.
There's a lot of sand.
This is an area that I was like, I know I should be exploring this more. And like, as we get closer to Desert Resort, I was like, I should be here. But I don't want to keep fighting fucking sand dials. I'm so tired. And thankfully, they do put another one of those trainers who's a, you know, Pokemon healer. You can use them as a Pokemon center here. But
there's also there's the trainer who's a healer at Desert Resort, but also on Route 4, there's just a dude who has like bunk beds who's like, hey, you want to hang out? And I'll heal you too.
Weird. So. I don't think I found that guy.
I explored this area pretty thoroughly, even though I, like you, was like, I hate it here and don't want to be here.
I tried exploring Resort and Relic Castle a lot more than Route 4. So Desert Resort is huge. It's full gigantic. Of trainers and items. I actually, what made this doable for me was I finally started using the dowsing machine here. The dowsing machine is like mechanically kind of decent. It just beeps when there's something nearby and tells you exactly where it is. It'll be like, it's down left, down left, down left, and then you go down left and it says now it's left, and then when you're standing on it, it beeps, and then you just turn and aim at that thing and you get the secret item. And I've been getting some cool stuff around this area, like Ultra Balls and Super Repels and stuff like that.
Okay, cool.
It's just that when you go into battle and come out, it closes the dowsing machine again. So like, if it could just stay open all the time, I would actually use it plenty. But the fact that I have to keep going in. Like, I could key register it too, but then I'd lose another cool resource that we got this week, which is the bike.
Yeah.
You know why I love the Gen 5 Bike 6?
I don't.
Because it is guaranteed to kill the frame rate every single time you move on it, like, so badly. I'm playing this on a 3DS, but it's emulated, so it doesn't use the harder power of the 3DS. And if you're in the city of, like, if you're in Mombasa and you go on that bike, your frame rate will dip into the single digits every single time.
And this is not an experience I've had.
It catches up. There's like 1 to 2 seconds. I'm like, I don't know why. I have a new 3DS XL. And then as soon as I crack that bike out, yeah, I'm doing it right now. There's like 1 to 2 seconds of like, and then it kind of smooths itself out.
Yeah, I'll try it in a sec here. I mean, I will say, though, also, like, I might not have noticed it because whenever I use my bike, it's because I'm no longer paying attention.
Right, you're just cooking. You're going somewhere. It's helpful because I did
Mombasa, you say? Like, any part of Mombasa? Or
honestly, anywhere. I just did it on Route 5 and it happened.
I'm not seeing any issues whatsoever.
Maybe my 3DS is weird.
Maybe your 3DS is
ROM
weird.
We have the same ROM now, though, don't we?
Well, we don't because I have black and you have white, but they should be the same source. So, yeah, no, this is, yeah,
it's
perfectly fine frame rate.
It's not, the frame rate's never an issue otherwise. It's just as soon as I get on that bike, it's like, and I kind of love it. It's like charming because it reminds me of the Gen 3 bike, the one that has like the gears and has to speed up. Except now
that's a Gen 4, actually.
Oh,
I know this because I did it last night.
3 has the, which is something I'll talk about, jumping bike and the fast bike.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's what it was. This one just has one speed. They dialed it back. They simplified it because this is Gen 1 again. It's just a bike. A guy just gives it. You save a guy on the way to Mombasa, and he says, here's a bike. And it's that simple. Thank you, sir, for your bike. It allows us to get around the city more. It makes like getting into doors a little bit awkward, just like a bike does. But it's nice because it makes backtracking a little easier before we get fly later. So I'm a big fan of the bike. It's pretty much useless in Desert Resort, though, because sand slows the bike down.
I mean, you can dodge the sand. It's only the encounter sand that slows it down.
Yeah,
so
the regular
sand. If you're dodging around, but it is very, like, zigzaggy. It's very easy to be going too fast and head into some of those. So it is tricky, for sure.
I like that momentum to it, though. Like, if you're going to use it, you're going pretty freaking fast. Not much to say about Desert Resort. Tons of fights. I went as far in every direction as I could and didn't find much beyond 2 different entrances to the Relic Castle. Did you find anything else of note besides trainers and the Relic Castle here in the resort?
I mean, there are a few things to note, things that you would have seen too, but just like there are some like Zen modes, Darmanitans that we can't interact with yet.
Oh,
just
sure.
With hanging out. There's a guy who gave me some sand, and there's a different guy who gave, and I found some sunglasses on the ground. I don't know.
Items. You know. Right.
Yeah. Nothing special, really.
One of the entrances to the Relic Castle is a bunch of Darmanitans. As soon as you get a blank, you can get it in blank. You can return to these statues and... Oh, that's cool!
Yeah.
We'll come back here at some point if we want to. That's optional. But you can get a Zenmo Darmanitan, as you said. Very fun. There's a false entrance to the Relic Castle that goes nowhere. It's just a dead end because it's the exit of the other entrance. Where you fight a couple trainers, a couple of people are researching the Relic Castle, and... then again, like, there's no pomp and circumstance about it. There's just a scientist here who's like, hey, I got these fossils. Do you want one? And you're like, yeah, I do. And they're like, all right, pick one. And then they tell you, they give you a vague description of what the fossils are. I forget what they're called. It's like the plate fossil and the...
There's the plate and the plume?
Cover and
plume. I
know
plume is right. Yeah, okay.
So,
cover and
so
plume.
So cover gives sense. You the tortuga... and plume gives you Archen. Archen? I never figured out how to pronounce that.
Actually, I would say Arshen, but, you know, I'm a pain in the ass, so who knows if that's true.
Arsen the Third. Arsen Loop. Yeah, there's something there. I chose Arshen and Six-Pick Tortuga because I wanted us to pick different ones. Did you go back and redeem it?
Oh, yeah. As I mentioned, lead of my team at the moment.
Oh, right. That's your homie. I chose Arshen just because I wanted a flying type, and I think Arshen is cuter, but we are at a point in the game where it's really going to be nice to just have a good defense-heavy water type. My Timpani, freaking, what's it called? Timpole, is going to evolve soon. I'm like literally one or two levels away. I know I said last week I would definitely be having my Pignite evolve. It's level 35. If it hits 36, it'll evolve. I'm so close. I could do it right while we're talking, and I'm not going to, but I'm right there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we got our fossils. You got to go back to all the way back to the Nacrine Museum to revive them, which is pretty easy with the bike, thankfully. Not too much grass to go through. And that's about it for the Relic Castle. I really expected there to be like way more stuff here, and it does open up a little bit later in the game. More like there's a blocked off area that some guy is like, "Hey, I'm working here. I'll be done soon."
He says, "Give me a second," and what he means is, "Give me, you know, like 10 to 20 hours."
Yeah, give me a long time, or at least like a pretty decent amount of time. And yeah, then we go through Joyn Avenue, which is based on the Manhattan Mall.
We don't.
Oh, do we not?
Not true. That's black two, white two. It doesn't exist yet.
I was lied to. God damn it. Don't read the guide. Read my own notes. We go to Nimbasa City, which is a beautiful city and a breath of fresh air after last week. Castellia City being overly large and full of surprisingly nothing. Nimbasa City is medium-sized and based on Midtown Manhattan, specifically Madison Square Garden, Broadway Theater, Grand Central Station, and technically Coney Island as well, because we have the Ferris wheel where a lot of things happen. A ton of stuff to explore here, tons of things to check out. But first, we have another run-in with Team Plasma. That's how we get the bike. And then you kind of get like pulled along in Nimbasa a little. I wondered if like the developers thought the city was too overwhelming for you to just be let a loose in. Because Bianca's like, "I want to explore and I want to do this and that," and she like basically drags you with her. And the first place she takes you is to the Pokemon Musical Theater, where you're pretty much, am I right, you're like forced into doing the tutorial for this?
I think you can like just turn around and walk out, but there's a lot of pressure.
It's like, come on, do it, this is the thing, you want to do it, come on, here we go, I want to do it.
It's very funny because I have played a little bit of Diamond since we last spoke. I loaded my save.
Of the Diamond remakes or the old ones?
The old ones.
Okay. How'd that go?
For reasons that we'll talk about shortly, but I was like, I wanna play some Diamond. And I left off with two badges and I was in Hearthhome City, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I took a few steps forward, and there was an NPC, and I talked to him, and he's like, "Oh, you must be here to see the Pokemon contest," and led me to the Pokemon contest. And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm just in Gen 4's fucking Nimbasa City."
Yeah.
And also there, it's like, you know, the guy sort of forces you in, but you are allowed to leave. You don't have to do the fucking thing fully. It's interesting. I want to compare the two because they're very similar, because this Hearthhome and Nimbasa City have cool things about them, and they are also, it seems like, the town of the gimmicks for this generation that they won't bring back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think Pokestar is more of a gimmick. This, like, what is the actual building / feature called here? Musical Theater.
Yes.
Or Pokemon Musical is the name of the feature. Is like, actually very light. There's not, like, a ton of secret rewards you can get. I mean, I think there are like secret stuff and ways to like maximize like the applause you get. Did you end up doing a full match of it besides the tutorial?
No, I did the tutorial and I was like, okay, I think I'm good.
After I beat Elisa, I came back here and I was like, I want to give this its due diligence. And there just isn't much to get here. Like, there's a couple people to talk to. It's very clearly Broadway. Oh, there's a big show. You're a performer, not a viewer. We don't let, let's say they literally don't let you into the stands to watch it. They're like, you have to be in it. And a woman hands you a prop case, which basically contains some props. And then you get some other ones, I think, during the game. And you pick a Pokemon in your party to dress up. And it becomes like one of those old doll dress-up games that I used to play on my sister's laptop. like in the 2000s. You just make them hold things or put glasses on, and it kind of awkwardly clicks onto their body. And then you go into a performance where there's like four Pokemon and they all do a little dance based on a song that you pick. And that's kind of it. It's like not a very in-depth feature, in my opinion. You can do it multiplayer if you want. And I understand the appeal of like, oh, I really want to like do the dance thing with my friends and show them the cute outfit I found. But That's really all it is. There's a formula on the Bulbapedia for how they score your...
Which is the funniest part of this whole thing, yeah. is looking at score equals cool props player divided by cool props all times men.
I never like to do times men. Plus Q props player divided by Q props all times girls. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Basically, you could game this if you really wanted to. I don't actually even know what you get out of it. I guess you get more props? I don't fully get it. You get a medal?
Yeah.
Oh, in Black and White 2, there's the medal system. That's, like, the achievement system. And there's, like, more followers. I just don't care. I don't care. I wanted to... I know it's, like, this is the city where you're supposed to care about this, and I tried it. I did it twice. But it's already out of my brain. I have no interest in doing Pokemon musical again. And I like Broadway, to be clear. I think, like, I want to go see... I'm going to New York, actually, tomorrow, as of this recording. I talked about it last week. And I'm not going to have time to see a Broadway play, but I would like to someday. I think it'd be cool. I like musicals, kind of. The songs that they let you do here are fun as well. That's all that I had to say about the musical. Some other stuff, though. We have we step out of the musical theater, and we get a story moment where Bianca's father has come. Honey, I've come to take you home. And the sad song that we play at the end of the podcast, which is Unwavering Emotion, starts playing. So you know we're about to feel something. And she's like, Dad, I don't want to. Like, I'm on my adventure. And he's like, it's dangerous. You're going to get hurt. Why would I let you get hurt? And then, because the player character can't talk, Elisa just kind of comes out and says, hey, what's going on here? What's this wonderful girl doing here? And the dad's like, it's my daughter. I want her to go home.
He's like, fucking excuse you. I'm talking to my daughter, a stranger.
Who are you? And she's like, I'm the gym leader here. And I think your daughter should be allowed to meet new people and expand her horizons, basically. And it's going to be good for her to meet new people. And he's like, do you feel that way, Bianca? And she's like, yes, that's why I'm doing this. And he goes, okay, I suddenly have no more conflict with you, and I'm over it.
Well, and I want to send you a picture, right? I want to send you the art of Elisa, because this lady just walks up to you and is like, no, it's important for your daughter to experience new things. And you're like, okay, first of all, put some clothes on.
Yeah, Elisa's outfit's a lot. It's basically like a bathing suit or sports bra situation with a huge yellow puffer jacket and
then like slip socks, not even actual shoes.
I think they're ballerina shoes, but they look are like they look like slip socks. Yeah, and then
they don't have the flat point. She wouldn't be able to do on point.
Oh damn, you really just called my bluff. Good play, thick. I'm gonna be right back. I have to go fuck myself. She's got big bangs and like big headphones. That's Elisa. And so he's like, I guess I'm no longer mad at you, and I'm going to let you do whatever makes you happy. Good luck, my daughter. So much for this plotline. I kind of wish this lasted like a little bit longer, but Mombasa City feels like it's kind of just like, be ploppy, 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 and then it's done.
It's kind of weird because, like, I mean, you know, there is, like, the concept of the Pokemon adventure of, like, when you hit this age, you go on a journey with your Pokemon is, like, very much drawing on a lot of, like, cultural traditions of, like, you know, like, coming of age, like, traveling the world and, you know, learning your place in it stuff.
Yeah.
And it's tricky because I think in our world that has meaning because not everyone does it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, like, you know, Elisa can walk up to this random dad and be like, I mean, come on, you did your journey. We all do this.
Yeah.
It's like everyone, when they hit this age, just goes alone around their, like, state. And I mean, I know it's not, I'm not like, it's Pokemon. I'm not worried about, like, what if you starve? Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's really weird how universal this experience is.
In the Pokemon world?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's supposed to be about, like, you're finding independence, but you're also finding other people to do it with. Like, part of going on the Pokemon journey is supposed to be that you're not going, you're going out alone, but you're meeting people that become your allies and will, you know, save your life and help you out. I think that sure. part is, like, relatable and is a part of the, like, developing your independence process.
I guess I, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, CinemaSins here. I wish, besides your two friends, I wish I got the sense that more people were in the middle of their travels, too.
Yeah, yeah. The, like, children and other trainers that we see kind of seem like they just exist. Like, not like they're on the journey. They are, but it doesn't feel like it. Not in the same way, I think what you're saying.
Oh, you know what? I should say that I linked you the black and white art of her. Uh-huh. She is still extra, but at least looks less. This is from the anime, but this is her black one, white one look, which is less deranged.
Oh, I like that. She's got yellow hair instead, blonde hair instead.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And a somewhat more modest outfit. Yeah, more of a dress outfit.
Looks like she's dressed to be outside, which is not otherwise the case.
Right. So anyways, we're now let free into Nimbasa. And what are some other buildings worth mentioning? I guess there's the Battle Institute, which is yet another comeback when you beat the game. This is how you get ranked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even an online ranking thing. It's just like you get a ranking. Congrats. You did really. It's like a high score chaser.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch in here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's musical theater. There is the gear station, which is the hub to the battle subway. I didn't really mess with this. Like, you can do it now, but it's pretty much like a fucking endgame thing, really.
Yeah, it's that's actually where I'm getting off in New York. Spoiler alert, that's Grand Central Station or Penn Station. Actually, those are two different things. That's Grand Central. I'm getting off of Penn Station. My bad. Yeah, I like running around it because the 3D there is cute. But did you explore enough to take the train to Anvil Town?
No, I did not.
Oh, no. My God. Okay, I'm going to talk about it. This blew my freaking mind the last time I played this game. One of the trains in... What is that place called again? What is the... Gear Station.
Gear Station?
There's the Battle State Subway, which is like you go on subways and fight people on the subway, which is funny in concept. But again, it's just like do this when you have a leveled out team and you can do it. But I think it scales or something. So it's not... You could start it now. And a lot of them are closed. They're like, oh, these trains aren't running. But there is a train in there that takes you to a different town called Anvil Town. Which is
I've done it in the past, just not this time.
It's the end of the line, and it's where the trains depart from. So it's basically a very small town with just nice music and vibes, and you can dowsing machine an Ultra Ball here, which is good. And that's it. There's NPCs to talk to, and you can watch the trains leave, and if you come at different days of the week, you can watch different trains. And I love that this exists. I don't remember if they do more with Anvil Town in 2, but... This is like tying into a very specific, like, you know, person who is into trains and transportation hobby of watching the trains depart. Because they're just on a loop, but every like weekday or whatever, you can see different trains leave. And, you know, there was like that really got that guy who went really famous on TikTok because he gets overexcited about trains and has a fisheye lens. And I think he would love to hang out in Anvil Town because it's just a cozy little end of the line hamlet that you can ride to check out and then come back to Nimbasa. I think it's a really cool addition to the game that doesn't... It adds character to Unova without, like, being complicated or, you know, storyline important or anything like that.
Interestingly, so name-wise, in Japanese, this is Kanawa Town, which is from Kanawa, which is Iron Wheels, and Kanawa Mon, because again, we're doing another pattern thing, which is sort of patterns of like interlinked rings, like you think of how chainmail is made, like little metal rings locked together. In English, it is a reference to anvil clouds. You know what anvil clouds are better known as?
No.
Cumulonimbus clouds.
Oh.
This is the same name origin as Nimbasa.
Oh.
It's just another term for the same cloud.
Interesting.
Which is... Okay.
It's just... It's Nimbasa 2.
Yeah.
From, I guess, the wiki. Population of 11, very small. There are trainers who come in during the weekends. And there's a flautist who plays music if you stand near them while overlooking the turntable, the place where the trains come out of, which is kind of fun. She's there 7 days a week, though. A depot agent handing out lost and found items lives in the southeastern house. This is where you get rewards for playing the battle subway. Okay, that's fine. Stuff like a rare candy, a full restore, max revive, etc. I just wanted to shout at Anvil Town because it has no reason to be here other than vibes, and I love that for him. There is the HM Strength back in Nimbasa City. A guy gives you this so that you can also be like him and be a strong man. You could go back to Accumula Town right now and move a rock and get a rare candy if you really cared to do that. I don't care enough to do that, but...
No. I didn't care enough to give anyone. Like, I got the HM, and I'm like, I didn't care enough to use it on anyone.
I forget if I did. I don't think I did, actually. Or if I did, that person's in the PC now. There's an old lady who gives us a soothe bell if you want to increase friendliness, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to be giving that right now to one of my guys, if you can't already tell. I did, in fact, pick up a sea waddle. That's one of my guys right now. Hold on.
Gotcha.
Fucking items. God. Macho Brace, Super Repel Sense. Oh, Soothe Bell. There you go. Honk, honk. His name is Leander because he's going to eventually become a Leavani. But right now he's a Swadloon. And he's adorable. Gotcha. And I love him very much. And I have a better grass type. I threw that Pansage in the fucking PC to never be seen again.
Did you go to the big stadium or the small court?
That was next. Yep. Big stadium, small court. It's like Madison Square Garden, I guess. These are fine. These are actually kind of smartly designed. So there's daily battles here. Unless there's a game going on during certain times or certain days of the week, there is like an actual match happening. But big stadium, small court are basically just places where you can run up onto the field and just fight people, which, again, a 10-year-old doing this is hilarious. Don't overthink it. Except that's our job, is to overthink it. And what's fun about it is that the enemies here scale. So if you ever need to grind significantly, you can just come back to big stadium, small court. So I like the idea that this is like the place where your guy trains. This is where you come back mm-hmm. to hone your skills.
I also like that they have different sports based on whether the sport requires a big or a small field.
Yeah.
Right? Like right. The big stadium has baseball, soccer, football, because those all require a pretty big area. And then small court is tennis and basketball, which, right. Brent, you know, you can go small on those ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's clever. I think this is charming. I wish, like, you could attend a game or something, but
yeah,
I'm nitpicking at this point. It's, again, just one of those, like, you can go watch, you can go play it, but we don't want you to just sit idly and watch it. And I'm like, I would watch To Kill a Mockingbird in the darkness if I had to. That sounds like a great time. Or a whole finished short movie in Alan Wake 2 if I had to. If I had my druthers, rather. But I think that's the main, like, other stuff. But then you go to the Ferris wheel, and you get a little bit of interesting story here. This is a very famous scene. One of the most famous scenes in Black and White is the end in the player character ride the Ferris wheel together scene. We move over there and we get this moment where N is like, hey, I have a lot to talk to you about. Do you have some time? I don't care. You don't get to talk. Come with me on this Ferris wheel. We're going to ride it together. And the game pans out in 3D.
Worth noting, if you come back later, this is the rendezvous. Ferris wheel, and it is couples only.
Exactly. Exactly, homie. And also, yeah, if you come after beating Elisa, you can fight a different person on the couples only Ferris wheel every day. There's like different players, and I think in the sequel there's like your rival, like different and major story NPCs here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like isn't there a Ferris wheel or something like this in Final Fantasy VII?
Where, like, I mean, there is a ride on Final Fantasy VII that's like a gondola, like,
yeah,
kind of. It is presented almost like a not fast roller coaster, but you're just on like a little gondola.
I see.
But yeah.
Similar idea. You and N are on a date. It's a romantic date. No, it's not. It's super weird. He basically just stares at you and says, hey, I'm the king of Team Plasma. Getsus asked me to help look out for them because they're fucking bumbling dum-dums and somebody has to protect them. And that's going to be me. And so he fights you. And Six, you want to tell the kids how your fight with N went here?
It was rough. it was a little touch and go. So N just, it just so happens, folks, that N here has what we would like to call an anti-6 team. N's lineup here of like Sandile, Scraggy, Darumaka, and Sigilyph, mm-hmm. right? It's like, okay, Sigilyph has Psychic and can almost one-shot my, you know, part fighting type Pig Knight.
Yeah.
Scraggy is dark fighting, and so even though they're fighting, psychic attacks don't work on them because they are dark, and so that's Victini screwed.
Yeah.
Emolga can't do shit against Sandile because electric versus ground type. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Darumaka was not a problem. Darumaka was pretty much squished.
Yeah,
but
sorry, Darumaka.
It was bad. It mm-hmm. went real bad for me.
Yeah.
I limped out with a couple, like, two Pokemon still alive, one half dead. I managed mm-hmm. to win the fight my first try. But it was a real, like, huh. That felt like I was the NPC fighting a player.
Right. Like, he just walked up on me and rocked my shit. Yeah, Getsis asked him to work with him to save the Pokemon. So what is the relationship between N and Getsis? Who's leading whom right now? If N claims to be the king, insisting, like, I wonder how many Pokemon exist in this world, then why does he work for Getsis? I don't truly get it.
I'm not spoiling because I don't really remember, but, like, I've read stories before.
Yeah.
N is the manipulated figurehead, and when push comes to shove, Getsis is going to be like, it's never really about you, kid. I was just using you.
I'm sorry. I was trying to watch a playthrough of just the scene so I could, like, thumb through the dialogue because I couldn't find the script anywhere. And this person playing, shoutouts to user Maryland, Marriland on YouTube, they had a throw in this fight that's named, hold on, it's named Judo Mario. Which is stupid.
Sure. Okay.
Sure, why not? Judo Mario is kind of funny.
Well, I mean, when I did my fucking musical theater, the NPC that was with me for the, you know, my first run also threw out a throw, and I was named, like, Red Boy or something, and I was like, okay.
Right, okay. This is exactly what I would call myself. N says, I have a future I must change. And then he walks up on you, and the game pans, cuts to a, like, tight zoom on N's fucking face, giving you the eyes, like, do you want to take ibuprofen together? Like, N, leave me alone, you weird boy.
It's this moment also where it's like you've had N sprite, but, like, the close-up has him in shadow such that, like, I suppose he's supposed to seem ominous.
Yeah.
He just looks kind of sleep-deprived.
Oh, he definitely is sleep-deprived. You're reading that correctly. Yeah, he looks wiped. I'll defeat the champion and become unbeatable, unlike any other. And it's like, sir, I literally want to be like, back the fuck up. Like, the way I read that was him getting right in your face. I'm like, huh? And he also blinks in that little shot, too, and his mouth moves, which just feels very weird.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be...
It's like a cross-transceiver portrait.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's supposed to be. Your best bet if you want to be closer to Pokemon is to get all 8 badges. Try and stop me if you dare. If your conviction is not strong enough, you'll never be able to defeat me. Oh, I guess you're the villain now. I thought you were just the ominous kid, but now you're the ominous villain of the game.
He's trying too hard.
He is trying to.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I think N is just a little freak, and I kind of love him, but I also feel the weirdest vibes from this boy. That's how I feel. I want them to develop him. I know he gets development very late in this game, and we need to get there already, because right now he's just purely a little freak. The funniest thing also about that is that if you walk away from him, you talk to the first NPC who's next to him in the Ferris wheel, it's a clown, who just goes like, you just had a scene where N is like, you know, you better work together with your Pokemon or you're not going to be able to beat me. And then this guy goes, Ferris wheel, Ferris wheel. I love the Ferris wheel. It's like, ah, yes, Pokemon is back. Okay. That was a really weird scene, but we're back to normal town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Then we finally get to go to the gym. It's time to get shredded as we begin to fight the people leading up to Elisa, the model gym leader of Nimbasa City. This is visually one of my favorite gyms. I love this, like, weird, like, what is that called? Like, cyber world.
It's just for, like, a lot of neon.
Yeah, neon world. And it's a roller coaster gym. Because Elisa's a model, and she likes, you know, things that are theatrical and ridiculous. What did you feel about this one mechanically?
I mean, mechanically, it's not too bad. It's a little annoying. I think the thing that really that gets on my nerves is that you go through all the trainer battles to get there, and what you're doing is you are switching the, like, pathways that the carts will travel along,
yeah.
And none of this saves.
Yeah, so if you leave to heal, you have to do it again.
Yeah, and it was like, I got all the way to the end. Can I just... No, I can't. Okay, cool.
Well, especially because the one you get to at the end does take you back to the beginning. So they know, like, you're going to want to heal. You can take the thing right from her straight back to the end. And if you finish and you beat the fight, you can do that. But you can't go back the other way. You have to then redo all the puzzles. My only problem with it is that there's only one way. You just hit the switch, you ride the next one. You hit the switch, you ride the next one. There is, like...
Yeah, there's no actual puzzle.
No, it's basically just linear progression. There's no way to fail it. There's no, like, way to do it in multiple ways. It's exactly linear, which is fine. But what I do like about the combat in this one is they're training you for the gimmick of Elisa's team, which is they keep... Everybody has them Olgas. And you're like, all right, I mean, they fly, so, like, I'm not going to use ground-type moves. Okay, this is probably a part of the game, like, where you have a Sandile who might have some sort of ground-type stuff. That's useless here. Okay. Well, I have rock stuff. That kills a Molga in one hit. And then one of the trainers starts using double team. And you're like, huh, that could totally mess my plan up. Oh, they're also paralyzing me, which lowers my speed and lowers my accuracy. And this might be a problem. But we're not going to worry too much about it. And then you finally get to Elisa. And her team is two Emolgas and a Zebstrika. And... this is, like, the common thing that I'm noticing in Gen 5 is if you let the gym leader trap you, this fight becomes incredibly hard.
Yeah, I mean, on the way there, the double team really throws off your game and sort of makes you aware of this. And, you know, Emolga is a Pokemon that has pretty good evasion anyway, right? But the real issue is...
Why
just,
is this so hard,
like,
for me? Oh, this the volt switching is annoying?
It's mostly just volt switching. And also, if you try to do the same... they have pursuit,
yeah,
right, which obviously you can't have volt switch yet. That's a TM she gives you. But if you're like, oh shit, she switched Pokemon, let me switch to try and match the matchup.
Nope.
Then she uses pursuit.
Yeah, you just have to start with somebody who can take out Emolgas, and then when you get to Zebstrika, that's like a bit of a tanky fight. Like, it's got a decent amount of health compared to the Zebstrikas, so it can be challenging. The two Emolgas actually were not a problem for me at all.
It was interesting because, so the levels on this are two Emolgas at 25 and Zebstrika at 27, right? My highest Pokemon was level 24 because I just swapped out my whole team.
Oh, boy.
Or no, 25 because the fucking the fossil starts at 25.
Yes.
So this is where we come to the second part of my party composition, because this is where I started really leaning into held items.
Oh.
To try and win. So, my Tortuga has a scope lens, which is crit rate up.
Nice.
My Victini has charcoal, which is fire damage up.
Nice.
My Yamaska's quick claw, which sometimes lets you go first. My Emolga has XP share, because I was leveling them up. Whimsicott has big root, because I've gone for, like, the maximum annoying build, where I
can't be switched
do,
out.
Like, what I do is, because big root makes your HP drain attacks drain more.
Oh.
So I do Paralyze Powder and then Leech Seed and then spam Mega Drain.
Oh my
it's
god.
Very annoying.
I would hate playing this fucking opponent, you as an opponent online. Ugh.
And then finally I have Sandile, who has Soft Sand, which makes ground attacks hit harder. So that was how I took out Zebstrika, who's level 27, and nobody really had a... Like, I went in with my Tortuga, right? And it's like, yeah, rock type. But also water type, boom, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, this fight could have been harder. And the way it was in my memory was also harder than it actually was. I found the Emolgas very easy. The problem is that every time you hit them, they also have static. So they paralyze you, and then you switch out, and you're like, okay, that guy's paralyzed and missing all of his hits. Let's take another guy in, and they just keep static paralyzing you until you're fighting Zebstrika with, like, three paralyzed high-level guys and your useless other three. So I got most of my guys got rocked here.
Yeah, she had a build. She had a vision for this team, and I respect that.
The play I ended up doing was Pignite got taken out by Zebstrika because I think they had another fly. Or no, maybe it was like one of the aerial aces or something, like the flying moves from the Emolgas. And then fucking Victini the goat. I started this strat where I would do Flame Charge, which is a decent damage attack that also increases your speed. Then I would take a hit, then I would heal, then I would Flame Charge and increase speed until I could attack faster than she could attack. Just like, I outspeeded her, basically. because she was also like, I sent you a screenshot where it was like just my Victini left and just the Zebstrike left with no health. And I was like, we're completely evenly matched. And then she hyper potioned and I hyper potioned. And I was like, damn, this feels like a fucking anime fight. Like, we both stepped away to breathe, basically. I just happened to do a little bit more damage and had flame charged so much that my speed was capped and I was double attacking, which is fun.
And as I was doing this with my new team, who are all lower leveled because I just swapped almost everyone out. I swapped 4 out of the 6 out. I'm just sitting here thinking, like, it's very good for the podcast and for my journey that I'm changing up my roster. And if I'd brought fucking Ide in here, I would have just used rollout and won.
Yeah. Well, thankfully...
God damn it.
Well, the Emolgas will take out Ide with Aerial Ace pretty quickly.
That's true. That's true.
I have high attack on that, and then it's not as useful on Zebstrika. It's not super effective on Zebstrika. I don't think.
Rock on. I mean, it wouldn't be super effective, but if you
it still just does so much damage.
It would just hit that hard by then, yeah.
Correct. But we do it, and we get the Bolt Badge from this fight, which looks like a lightning bolt, I guess. And then we get the TM for Volt Switch, which I might give to Victini at some point. I'm considering that.
I'm going to give it to my Emolga. I'm going to cosplay.
You're
going to
cosplay as Elisa? That's fucked up. She's really cool looking.
Her team, I mean, I think I would not do Quick Attack, but like Volt Switch, Aerial Ace, Pursuit, that's pretty good.
That's a good kit. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. I will talk about my team now before we talk about Route 16. Really quickly. So I have my Pignite, which is level 35, close to evolving. Level 26, Victini, doing great with the flame. I want to replace Flame Charge at some point so I don't have 2 fire types, but Flame Charge did beat that boss for me. Level 23, Tympole, that will definitely be involved into Palpitoad next time because it's like 1 or 2 levels away. Leander, the Swadloon, adorable, holding a Soothe Bell, cutie patoot, can't wait to have good grass type coverage. Arkin the Arshin, I have a friend who goes by Arkin online, so that's named after him, is level 25, haven't used him yet. And then I still have you in there as 6, just for psychic coverage and for sleeping. You have Hypnosis now instead of Yawn, which is actually pretty clutch, but...
I'm sorry to say I did swap you out.
That's so fine. I mean, I'm sitting in your PC.
I thought you needed a rest. You work so hard.
Thank you. I really do. And I think I'm going to look at like the levels that you learn moves at so that I can decide when to just plop a stone on you and make you good again. Because once you're in the 30s, like, you kind of want to have your team sort of figured out for the rest of the game. Obviously, you can make big changes at that point, but it's like nice to have around level 30 everybody. That's at least in my mind.
I want to try, and I can't promise this because I might just be like, I'm sorry, I hate all the Pokemon this app.
Yeah.
But I want to try to at least swap out one Pokemon every episode.
That's a good idea. It's a new Pokedex. They're all newbies, so why not? I caught like almost everything. I am still doing the thing I used to do in Sword and Shield, where every time I go to a new route, I catch everything. So I got a Trubbish, I got a Minchino, I got a Chinchino from some tall grass, and I did. My version doesn't have Gothita or Solosis. Unfortunately.
Oh, it should have Solosis, not Gothita.
Oh, okay. I didn't find Solosis then. But, and I obviously didn't find Gothita. I think those are the only guys around here. But before we progress, we also had access to Route 16, which is northeast of Nimbasa City. There's a lot of trainers here on bikes. You can ride on your bike. There's some grass. Not a lot, though. And
there's a fucking cop.
There's a cop. Fuck the cop. The first person you run into here sucks. There's some backpackers. And then you found a little area called Lost Lorne Forest, which is mysterious and weird. What did you know? It sounded like you already knew what was going on here, right?
Yes.
Okay.
How much do you know?
Okay, so I know you go in here and this guy is like, I think that everybody should be nice and listen to each other, but the fucking woman in that trailer park doesn't talk to anyone. And you go into the trailer and she just says ... And I was like, what the hell is this? And then I was like, oh, it's probably a Zoroark. And it is. And what I looked up was that like you need to bring one of the legendary dog, a shiny legendary dog, like a vent one here. And then she'll be like, oh, fuck. And what she does is she opens up the back behind the trailer park, showing the rest of Lost Lorne Forest. And you can like fight other people here and get some items and then also fight.
That's pretty That's pretty much correct. So all of this, like this and also a previous encounter we had, are tie-ins to movie 13.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Zorak, Master of Illusions. Mm-hmm. This came out before Black and White did. This was the last movie of Diamond and Pearl. But it did star Zorro and Zoroark, who weren't out yet.
Yeah.
Right? And so as part of that, the plot of that is about Zorro and Zoroark, like, sort of running away from evil humans and fighting, like, having, like, conflicts against the legendary dogs. And then Celebi shows up to, like, heal, like, Zoroark when things go bad right. and stuff. And so first of all, there was a giveaway, which was Celebi and then the three legendary dogs. Mm-hmm. And then, so you have the first event, which is in Castellia City, where if you have the Celebi, Azorua recognizes the Celebi as the one that healed their mom, which is why that little kid will talk to you and turn into Zorua and you can get Zorua.
Mm.
And then here, this is sort of implied to be the Zoroark from the movies who had all these fights in history with the legendary beasts and sees one as like, oh, fuck you guys, and comes out to fight you.
That's kind of cool.
And then when you... Yeah. And then when you beat it, it is revealed, yeah, that there was an illusion protecting the rest of the forest because Zoroark was here as sort of a gatekeeper to protect these woods.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. That makes a lot more sense. I'm also reading about movie 13 and its villain, whose name is, no joke, Grings Kodai. At least in Japanese. I think, often referred to as Kodai. He looks swaggy.
Mm-hmm.
He looks really swaggy. I'm not going to watch this movie anytime soon. But, like, look at his suit. He's crispy.
Maybe sooner than you think. He's got, like, arrows pointing. It's like arrow pointing at your dick, but it points to, like, his sides.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing.
Ladies, my sides are up here.
All of this stuff made me curious enough that I bought a refurbished DS Lite, and I'm playing through Diamond, and I got... at least one of the dogs now. I'll get a Celebi and I will transfer them to Black and White. I guess just to Black, right? And I will go do these events.
Interesting. Is my plan. Awesome. Thank you for going through the effort. So it's an event for Gen 4. So you are using the software you used before to...
Yeah, it is a mystery gift for Gen 4. And uh-huh. then you can transfer them to Gen 5. There are two ways to transfer from Gen 4 to Gen 5. There is the general Poke transfer. Uh-huh. If you do that, none of these events will trigger. You have to use the special relocator, which is specifically for these Pokemon.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like you're going to have more to report back about the movie 13 tie-in. That is really
fun, heard
though.
Have you heard about, do you know how mystery gifts, I talked about this on other podcasts, but do you know how mystery gifts work in Gen 4? It's so unhinged.
I don't think so.
It's just a deranged thing. So obviously in Pokemon Black and White, at the main menu, there's just an option that says mystery gift.
Yeah.
You go into that, right? That's not there in Diamond and Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is you have to go to Jube Life City.
Uh-huh.
You have to go to the third floor.
Uh-huh.
And there is a producer there, and the producer's like, hey, what do you think about television these days? And then it pops up like the quick phrase thing they used to have, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you have to say, like, everyone happy Wi-Fi connection. And he's like, oh, I see you know the password. I'll unlock mystery gifts for you. It's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Why is it like this?
Oh, Gen 4 is so experimental and weird and kind of bad. Gen 4 walked so that Gen 5 could run is the truth of it. But
I think Gen 3 walked so that Gen 5 could run. It's just Gen 4 also walked.
Was also happened to participate. Yeah.
Not a great gen, my opinion.
Yeah, it's really jank. It's got charm and it's very cozy to me still, but yeah, it's mm-hmm. the remix really, really soured me on it. I did not beat the Elite Four because they were too hard. The balancing of the game is bad.
Yeah, it's like those, I mean, you know, everyone has their opinions about those remakes being a buggy mess. And like, you know, we say this about, you know, everyone says this about the Switch Pokemon games. And they're not incorrect, but it is also true that Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl are on a different level where you're playing like a grid-based Pokemon game where you can take a step forward and fall through the world.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
And you can diagonal also, walk in places where you're not supposed to be able to diagonal walk and break puzzles. Yeah.
And then also, it's just like they didn't really do anything interesting to update games that were boring at the time.
Yeah, they didn't. There's like significant problems with the layout of Sinnoh that they were like, this is the game, we can't fix that, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Coming back to this though, did you make any progress into Route 5?
No, I get from the comments that Elise made, I was like, oh, if I step into Route 5, events are gonna happen. I'll hold off.
There's so much good stuff on Route 5. It's a short route. It's like a. Oh, I don't want to tell you. I guess it should be the beginning of next week. We meet a new character, one of my favorite characters in Gen 5. He's just there on Route 5, and it's fucking wacky. But that is technically for next time. So Elise is gonna unlock the bridge. We're gonna meet some other people, and then we're gonna find our way into what is the name of the city again? Driftvale City? Is that correct?
That sounds right. I hear that's the one where the music is really good.
Yeah, the funny thing is
That's
that.
all anyone ever says. And people don't have any opinions about Gen 5 except for that Driftvale music is really
Well,
good.
that's just
So
because
at
it's
least it's been
become a meme.
sufficiently hyped for me. Yeah.
It's just fully become a meme. But it's really great that Castellia, this one, and that Nimbasa and Driftvale are back to back to back because they're all like the best music in the game. So three cities in a row with stellar music. I'm trying to look at the thingy here. Oh, we're gonna go to cold storage. Oh, fuck! I love cold storage. That's one of my favorite sections of the game. It's kind of a dumb puzzle, but it's fun. And then we're gonna fight the Driftvale gym leader. And you're gonna meet, like I said, new people. You're gonna see a big bridge open up. I hope you like bridges. I hope you like elevators. I hope you like Texas. That'll make sense to you in the future.
Okay. All right.
That's all
I
I have
trust you.
for now, though. Any other notes that you want to talk about, things you want to mention?
No, not really.
This is
I
a
think
fun, this is
like
a fun fucking section.
this was a fun section of the game. I think there was some really cool stuff. We got, there's a bunch of new there had a bunch of options for new Pokemon, right? Which some of which I obviously took advantage of. So it was fun to have some more, like just our the new Pokemon you can get in this section of the game. You can get Sandile, Darumaka, Scraggy, Maractus, Yamask, Lipard, Trubbish, Mincino, Gothitar, Solosis, Tranquil, and Unpheasant.
Yeah.
That's a lot of new Pokemon.
Yeah, it is. This is a great place to build your team.
Yeah, and that's really exciting, right? So, I thought Nimbasa City, I think the personality of the city is a bit weird because it's just like, what if a city was like three stadiums and you didn't get the sense that anyone lived there? There are a
Right.
few like buildings where there are people, but like it's just the amount of like, and it feels like a strange place, but it also feels strange in a way that I guess is somewhat realistic. It feels like a place. What if every sports team in New York
Played in one.
decided to build a stadium in the same like one of their fucking suburbs?
Right. Yeah,
So
it's
it's got
condensing.
strange vibes, but yeah.
I think what I like the most about this section of the game is that there are so many things to do. Like I spent my first play session here like just blasting through stuff, and then like I hit the wall of Relic Castle and Desert Resort, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do this right now, and I stopped. And then I got to Nimbasa City and I was like, oh my god, there's too many things. When you actually break it down, it's really not that much. You fight people in the arenas, you can do the musical stuff if you want to. But like just being able to like go forward to two different routes that are full of trainers and a little bit of story, and then like you can get blocked, you're blocked in those two directions. Like it just felt expansive in a way that Castellia and that whole section of the game did not. Which I was really a fan of. Like this is like peak of this part of Gen 5 for me. I just looked up another dumb thing that's going to happen next week, and they are going to continue to introduce entirely new features to this game that they haven't even mentioned yet. So look forward to that. I love being snooty. Great. Well, that's all I have. The committee is closed for the session. Thank you all for coming. If you have these leftover snacks and donuts, if you guys want to grab them, our next meeting will be the next time we do it. And that's all I have. Six, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and co-host at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. My DMs there are open for any questions, comments, and other listener feedback. And then my work can be found at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Alan, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Twilight Galaxia, and you can find me on co-host at A. Ibrahim. You can also listen to me on Chats : A Television Podcast, where we're doing Couch Madness. We just put out an episode of our sideshow Trek Chats, where we watched really bad Star Trek movies. And if you're wondering why I'm suddenly plugging my social media, it's because nobody listens to The Quorum. And if you are the person who does listen to The Quorum, then you deserve to follow me on there. I'm just kidding. Plenty of people, I'm sure, listen. It's more fun for me to not think about the numbers, because then I get sad. Indeed. Yeah, that covers it. Chats, socials. Yeah, that's everything. Everything else I could possibly plug would be on Chats anyway. So you're listening to that. But Six, I have one more really important thing I need to tell you.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I thought I fixed it.
No. You know, you updated your team this week, and you played the game, and you finished it in time, and we scheduled the podcast, but you didn't keep the advice in mind, and I've been telling you it every week for almost 5 years now. This is a game for kids, so let's be adults.
Peace.